for parents to sell the cookies, not to mention in the office of Girl Scout dad Matt Fisher of Jacksonville, Florida.
It's kind of like crack around where I work. People just like, hey, and you got the cookies? You got the cookies? It's like, yeah, I got the sheet. Come here, you know. I got what you need.
He's just being honest. He sold between 200 and 300 boxes of cookies every year at his office, but agrees that kids should do some of the work.
Half of our sales was definitely mom and dad, and it wasn't like we had to work at it. We just basically would just sit there. My daughter would actually, she would work at it, and she would go door to door, you know, work the booths at the grocery store. And, yeah, she did gain the skills, but, yeah, there's definitely a mom and dad factor there.
One scout in San Francisco found a way to boost cookie sales without the help of mom and dad's office.
That's right. 13-year-old Danielle Lee set up shop right in front of a medical marijuana dispensary. Her mom approved the location, saying, quote, selling cookies to marijuana users allows for a teachable moment. And that is the business news on Morning Edition from NPR News. Our theme music was written by BJ Lederman and arranged by Jim Pugh. I'm David Green.
Cookies. I'm Steve Inskeep.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Netflix, presenting Season 2 of House of Cards, starring Kevin Spacey, Robin Wright, and Kate Mara. All episodes now available on Netflix. From Lumber Liquidators, hardwood, bamboo, and cork flooring with a Floor Finder app for iPad and iPhone. Learn more at lumberliquidators.com. And from Brigham and Women's Hospital, home to research on how aspirin can prevent heart attacks and other diseases. More at brighamandwomens.org/aspirin. This is NPR.
This is Mountain Grown Public Radio for Western Colorado, KVNF 90.9 MHz Paonia and KVMT 89.1 MHz Montrose, Delta, and Norwood. Also heard via translators K256 AD in Palisade in the Grand Valley at 99.1, K252 AM in Hotchkiss and Crawford at 98.3, K205 BA in Ridgeway and Log Hill at 88.9, K211 BH in Ouray at 90.1, and K204 BR in Lake City at 88.7.
Support for KVNF is provided by listeners and by Solar Energy International, SEI, offering online courses and hands-on training in renewable energy across the U.S. and internationally since 1991. Visitors welcome at the training campus in Paonia. More information at solarenergy.org.
This is KVNF Regional News. It's Friday, February 21st. I'm Patricia Naft. School superintendents in Colorado are worried about the state's legislative agenda. Nearly every superintendent in the state asked lawmakers to focus exclusively on restoring funding to schools and drop any unnecessary bills. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
When lawmakers worked to balance the budget during the recession, K-12 education saw significant budget cuts.
I think that what's happening in Colorado is the superintendents are saying enough.
The superintendent of the Telluride School District, Kyle Schumacher, says the cuts have hurt schools across Colorado. For instance, in the form of layoffs, limited bus routes, and delayed improvements to infrastructure. But with a rebounding economy, there's now more money that could go back into schools. And while Schumacher and other superintendents believe education needs to evolve, he says school leaders need a greater role in the conversation.
Listen, we're for the change. We believe that change needs to occur, but we need to have a voice at what some of that change is because it's happening. There's so much coming down. There's so many expectations. The majority are unfunded, and you're cutting back money. So the whole adage of doing more with less is one thing, but it's do more with less and, oh, keep doing more things, but we're not going to pay for it.
What's unique is they're almost all on the same page. All but 10 of the state's 178 superintendents signed one letter to lawmakers. This session, they want them to back away from two proposals in particular. One would require more budget information to be posted to the public. Schools say they're already transparent. Another would change how students are accounted for.
Right now, the way we fund schools is we literally count how many students are there on one day of the year, October 1st.
Democratic Senator Michael Johnston of Denver supports and plans to sponsor a proposal that would transition from the one-day count to an average rolling count.
What you have is if you have students who moved into the state in October or November, we don't ever fund them. If you have students who move from Denver up to a mountain town, if they come after the October 1 date, they never get any dollars for those students. And so in a more and more mobile population, we want to make sure dollars go where students go.
But school districts say the need is unproven and new reporting requirements will be a distraction and a financial burden. Johnston says he hopes to craft a bill that would pair the requirements with additional funding. But he admits finding more dollars in the budget will be tough.
Higher ed got cut even worse than K-12. There are needs in everything from healthcare to corrections to parole services to old age pensions. I mean, there are a lot of demands on those funds. K-12 ought to be our top priority, but we're going to have to fight for all the dollars that are available.
Democratic Speaker of the House Mark Ferrandino has already met with several superintendents to discuss their concerns. Even if Colorado had the money, he worries about restoring budget cuts too quickly.
We need to find something that is both putting more money in schools, but is long-term financially sustainable so that we're not back in a place in a few years of cutting schools again.
Governor John Hickenlooper is proposing to put millions of dollars back into K-12 schools as part of this year's budget. But as Jane Urschel with the Colorado Association of School Boards notes, it simply keeps up with inflation and student growth.
It doesn't restore any of the cuts. It does not begin to restore any of the cuts. He's just saying we don't have the dollars to do that and we have other priorities.
Urschel says her group and others are trying to find $50 to $80 million to begin restoring some of the cuts. Lawmakers are expected to introduce a comprehensive school funding bill in the coming days. And it's not clear how many superintendents would support any proposal that includes increased budget reporting and new student attendance counts. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Grand Junction is cracking down on aggressive panhandlers. As the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports, last night the City Council voted unanimously to restrict how and where people can ask for money. Now people cannot ask for money at night, near ATMs, or on highways. They also can't ask in an aggressive or obscene way. The ruling followed more than an hour of emotional testimony at the packed City Council chambers. A number of homeless people and activists protested outside the building. American Civil Liberty is against the city's new law, saying it's too broad and could limit freedom of speech. The city's police department says it doesn't intend to write more tickets, but instead will use the new law as an additional tool for keeping the peace. There's a lot of concern over avalanche danger in Colorado's backcountry right now, but skiers and boarders also have to keep this in mind. Avalanches can occur inside ski areas, and if they do, the resort isn't necessarily at fault. That's a new ruling by the Colorado Appeals Court. Aspen Public Radio's Elise Thatcher explains.
Aspen Skiing Company spokesman Jeff Hanley says the ruling was right, even though the background story is a tough one.
It's a tragedy. Anytime someone loses their life, we understand the family's feelings and thoughts, and we feel for them. But based on current law, we feel that the court's ruling was the correct ruling.
The appeals court decision comes in the case of a Denver man who died while skiing inbounds at Winter Park Resort. That was in 2012. He was caught in an avalanche within the ski area, and his wife sued the resort over his death. When it comes to safety on the slopes in Colorado, judges look to the Colorado Ski Safety Act. It outlines when skiers and boarders might be at fault and the situations where resorts might be liable. The act also considers what risks naturally come with the sport. The state appeals court has decided the law recognizes that snowslides are an inherent danger to skiing and boarding, even though the act doesn't specifically say avalanches are okay within ski areas. The Aspen Skiing Company spends a lot of time and money trying to prevent avalanches in bounds, with the understanding that snowslides could still happen. For someone new to skiing at Aspen Mountain, snowmass, buttermilk, or highlands, the chance of being caught in an avalanche are low.
It's a rare occurrence and very unlikely.
Despite the court ruling, Hanley says SkiCo plans to continue the same pace of avalanche control at Aspen's Four Mountains. Colorado Ski Country USA, a trade association, agrees with the ruling, and leadership there believes resorts' current efforts to protect skiers and boarders are a good idea. The group has this comment. Colorado ski areas have extensive snow safety programs and use explosives and other measures to mitigate avalanche risk within ski area boundaries. Not everyone is happy with the court's decision. Jim Shalott is a personal injury attorney in Denver. He's taken on skiing and boarding accidents.
I think that ski areas have even more immunity or protection from lawsuits than they did even before the ruling, even though they have had significant immunity under the ski safety statutes for many years.
Shalott has represented people suing Aspen Skiing Company.
When people ski in bounds, they don't expect to get killed by an avalanche. That's why they ski in bounds. So what's the new paradigm? That before you go and you ski the Cirque in snowmass, you stop and dig a snow pit?
Hyperbole aside, that's one way to assess avalanche danger in the backcountry. And Aspen Skiing Company says it's not necessary to do that when skiing in bounds. Spokesman Jeff Hanley says Ski Patrol checks for avalanche danger every day, and there's a high level of certainty that a slide is not likely. Colorado's Supreme Court could end up with the final say on whether avalanches are acceptable inside ski areas. The Denver Post reports plaintiffs in the recent appeals case plan to take it to the state's highest court. Elise Thatcher, Aspen Public Radio News.
Stay tuned for the Friday Morning Music Mix with Alan. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.